Okay, good morning, everybody. And I hope you have a pleasant Yontif. As we say, a gesunden winter, a healthy winter. The appropriate thing to say after Simchas Torah. So today, I couldn't get away from Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky. I started with him and I just kept turning the pages in his sefer, and I have actually three things on the sheet. If we have time, there's a fourth that I didn't put on the sheet, and we might get to it. So the first, number one, is the first pasuk, Bereishis bara Elokim es haShemayim es haAretz. So he comments on the cantillation, the trump, the notes. The notes have deep meaning. They also have a simple structure. That wishbone that you see under Elohim is called a ve'etnachta. And it's almost a sof pasuk. It's the middle pause of a verse. And it generally is supposed to be an inyan, a separate piece, a separate thought. It's not the end of the pasuk, but it always connotes a separation of thought. So that's going to be his question, because we said Bereishit bara Elokim, in the beginning God created, and then there's a ve'etnachta, which is very strange, et hashamayim ve'et ha'aretz, the heaven and the earth. So hine, he says, tevat Elokim mutamet ve'etnachta. It has a esnachta. Aval be'emet, the truth be told, lefi klali ha'tamim, according to the general rule of these notes, haynu tzrichim l'nakei tevat Elokim b'zakev katan. It should have a different note on it, a semi pause. Because it seems to be a continuation. In the beginning, God created heaven and earth. So why have a complete pause there? In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Venerly Hashem ha'orazu b'shlosho fanim. I have three ways of answering this question. It says we're just going to do two. The third one is very lengthy. We're not going to go there. Number one, yesh lomar, we can suggest lirmozlan, to hint to us shegam et hareshit atzma bara. So a little philosophical here, that the reshit, the beginning, was also created. In other words, bereshit bara Elokim. God created the beginning. What does that mean? V'haynu kedat chachmei Yisrael, according to Chazal, our rabbis, sha'olam mechudashu, the world was created anew. Ki v'dat chachmei umot ha'olam, according to the scientific version of things, sha'olam kadmon, the world is ancient. The world is millions of years, right? Im kein ein shum zman miyuchad l'reishit b'riyat ha'olam. There's no specific time for the no starting time, no reshit for the world. V'hodiyanu hakatuv, so the pasuk is coming to teach us, shahayata briyam yuchedit b'shem zman. There was something created here called time. And this he's alluding to something that the Vilna Gaon, the Gra, spends a lot of time discussing, that in the beginning God created time. There was no time. The whole concept of time was created. If you read when you delve in tomorrow morning and you read Baruch Sha'amar, read it carefully, and you'll see this idea in Baruch Sha'amar, in that opening prayer that we say in the morning. But that's what he said. In B'tchilat Hazman, in the beginning of time, Ahu nitchadsha briya. He created time, and he created the world. Sha'az bara Elokim et ha'shamayim ve'et ha'aretz. So first, Bereshit bara Elokim. At the beginning, God created. He created time. And then, et ha'shamayim ve'et ha'aretz. That's the idea that he wants to say. So it's not a mistake, so to speak, in the cantillation. You know, we have a tradition, a Masorah, that the cantillation is part of our Masorah, our tradition. It wasn't just added after, later on. Number two, Beit. Oh, yesh lomar, or we can suggest there's something else that the Torah is telling us. Yesh lomar lefi ma shehevi Rashi's up, based on the comment of Rashi on this verse. Ein hamikra hazeh omer ela darshein. This verse is begging interpretation. Kibosh shekatuv razal, as the rabbis say, the world was created. Why was the world created? Bishvil ha-Torah shenikra reshit. The world was created for the Torah, which is called Reshit, the first of wisdom. So you read like this, go back to the pasuk, Bereshit, for Torah, with Torah in mind, bara Elohim, God created the world. In other words, the whole world is a stage upon which the spiritual world is given, right? We have a physical creation, we have a spiritual creation. But the purpose of this physical world is not just physicality, a material world, it's in order to be a stage for the Torah to be played out on. You know, I've often pointed this out, that the Mishnah in Pirkei Avot says, Ba'asara ma'amarot bara ha'olam. God created the world in 7 days, but he created it with 10 commands. The order, the delight, and so on. There are 10 commands with which the physical world was created. And then the Mishnah goes on and says, Ba'asara dibrot not mitna Torah. The Torah was given with 10 commandments. Right? And then it says that there were 10 plagues when we went out of Egypt. So what's the nexus between all of this? So based on the thought of the Maharal in Prague, we can say like this. It's not by accident. 10 is a perfect number. God created a perfect world. And it would appear, and it appears to scientists and to the world outside of Torah, that it's a physical world that he created. There's no spirituality. But it's not true. The world was created with, a physical world was created with 10, a perfect physical world, so to speak. And then there's a perfect spiritual world. But you needed the, then there's 10 makot, 10 plagues that got us from outside of that physicality into the receiving of the Torah. Like, use the example of a walnut, right? You see a walnut, some child sees a walnut, it thinks a walnut. But you know, you smash it and inside is the fruit, is the real nut. So the physical world is the shell. The fruit inside is the real spirituality. And you have to break through that shell in order to get to the spirituality. So hence you have 10 statements for the creating a physical shell, 10 statements creating the spiritual fruit, and 10 plagues, 10 breaking through to get from the physical to the spiritual. But that's the whole idea of Bereshit. Reshit is Torah. With Reshit, with Torah in mind. Don't think that God created this world just to be physical. It was a blueprint, as Rabbi Shamshon Frohl Hirsch says, that the Torah it's a blueprint here to create a spiritual world. So that's what he said, continuing in this paragraph. That's one thing, right? Shiknikrat Reshit Darko, and also Bishvil Yisrael. The world was created for the Jewish people, for Yisrael. Shiknikrat Reshit. We are also called Reshit. God refers to us as his first love, his first nation. So Bereshit, for the Torah, and for Reshit, for the Jewish people, Bara Elokim, God created the world. Et HaShemayim Ve'et HaAretz, the heaven and the earth. In Cain, Ratzel Ramay, so the Torah wants to hint to this fact, Shehabriya Hayata Bishvil Torah O Yisrael, that the created world, the physical world, was for the Jewish people and for the Torah. So that's why the cancellation, the Tamei HaMikra, the note, is not a mistake. It is a genuine pause here. Okay, let's go to number two. Again, this is the Yaakovitz from a lengthy, I took out just a portion of a very lengthy essay. And he discusses something very interesting, which we should be somewhat familiar with. There is a fundamental difference between Jewish philosophers and Western philosophers, and Western religions, between the Jewish religion and other religions. V'lididan, as far as we're concerned, ha-nefesh v'ha-guf yesh kashur sinteti. That for us, there is a synthesis between body and soul. There's not like a little space somewhere in our body that's the soul, but body and soul are synthesized together. The body has soul within it. Kemoshe bira Ramban lahalav, as the Ramban explains, Nachmanides in his, when he explains the pasuk in our parsha, Vayifach ba'apav nishmat chayim, that God blew breath into man's nostrils, he gave us the soul. Shegam ha-guf, nitale al-yedei ha-neshama. When we received our neshama, it elevated the body. The body is not simply a housing mechanism for the soul, but the soul sort of merged together with the body. V'chein pirshu ha-parshanim, and that's how the rabbis explain, al-pasuk lo yadun ruchi, another pasuk, b'shegam hu basar, kolomar shegam haruach nasa lebasar, that spirituality is in our flesh. And even in the flesh that we know, we say animals also have a neshama. So the animal's flesh has neshama. V'hainu da'ayidei ha'arkava, by virtue of this grafting of physical and spiritual, nase adam l'min b'riach ha'lesha. So man becomes a new creature by having the soul synthesized into his physicality. That's our belief, right? Body and soul merge together. Aval ha'akum, but other religions, omrim ki ha'nefesh nimsa b'toch ha'guf. They say that somewhere in the body there is this spiritual cell. Ve'eno memalei kol ha'guf. It doesn't fill up the entire body. Ela sheyesh la mador betocho. It has a room somewhere in the physical body. Aval einu meurev kibaguf, but it's not mingled together with the physicality. Ulaficha, therefore, kishehutzruchu lahamtzii lehem mechokek. So when they wanted to find a god, a spiritual mentor, you know who he's talking about. Hutzruchu levadot shenolad al yedei ruach. They had to create the fiction that he was created from a spirit, from some kind of spirituality. He couldn't have been created by a man and a woman. He couldn't have been created in a physical way, because physicality has a tension with spirituality. So you can't say that our God can't be created by a physical man and a woman, right? That negates our whole idea of spirituality, right? Da'al yidei basar, yeshar lehem letzayer, through flesh, they couldn't possibly imagine sheyetzei kedusha mibalei chomer, that there can be holiness coming from a physical body. So they had to invent this fiction that he was created from some whatever they call it, right? In fact, you read the papers these days, scientific journals. There's now a new they came out now with some kind of a study that they think that Yoshka was married. Did you read this? A few weeks ago.
It's not new. It gets regurgitated.
Okay, well, that's a good word. But you see, they had to invent this immaculate conception, because it's contrary to their understanding that holiness, kedusha, should come from a physical body. Ma she'en kein b'torah kedusha, which is not the case with our holy Torah. Sifra Torah ki halach ish. Listen to the language of the Torah. How do we see Moshe being born? The Torah goes out of its way to say, "Halach ish mi beit Levi v'lakach et bat Levi." A man from the house of Levi went and took a woman from the house of Levi. So to emphasize the physicality of the birth of Moshe Rabbeinu, right? V'hinei b'halacha, in Jewish law, anu roim ki shalmei ha'akum olot. You know, a non-Jew can bring a korban, can give a korban to the Kohanim and the Beis Hamikdash to offer. But they can only give one kind of korban. They can only offer an olah. An olah is a totally burnt, the animal is completely burnt. Not like most of the karbanot that we put, sprinkle the blood and the meat is eaten. The holy meat is eaten by the Kohanim, by the priest, and by the Baal HaKorban, the person that brings the korban, and their families, right? But a non-Jew can only bring an olah. Completely, why? My time. Delibo l'shamayim, that goes completely to heaven. V'haynu she'iyah shalakum, a non-Jew can't understand, l'havim, ev itakein, how is it possible, she'yachnu ha'basar, that you eat the meat of a sacrifice, v'yezek korban shakadusha, that it's still kedusha. They can't understand how flesh can have holiness, can have sanctity to it. So they can only give a korban olah, where it's completely burnt up on the altar to God. Aval b'Yisrael, but the Jewish people, Amrinan, we say, Kohanim ochlim, the priests eat, Uba'alim mitchaprim, and the owner of the korban receives his atonement by virtue of the eating of the meat, of the korban. The physical korban has kedusha to it, it has neshama to it. V'zeu bir ma'amram v'psachim, and this is what the rabbis in our oral tradition say in the Talmud, Hakol modim. Now this is a strange statement. Hakol modim, the Gemara there is discussing, when do you have a festive meal, when do you not have a festive meal. So everybody admits, when it comes to the Yom Tov of Shavuos, Hakol Modim Ba'atzeret, Divinim Nami Lechem. Because we say half the day on Yom Tov is Lashem, we daven until noon, And half the day is lechem. You eat a festive meal, right? So Yom Kippur, of course, is kulo lashem. It's all to God, right? But everybody admits, he says, that on Shavuot, when we receive the Torah, the be'in and nami lechem, that you need half the day for yourself. My timer. Why is the reason? Yom Shinit Nebo Torah. It's the day the Torah was given. Very strange statement by the rabbis. You would think just the opposite. What are they talking about? I would really think that Shavuos, when we receive the Torah on Shavuot, should be kula l'Hashem, completely to God. What do you mean? Everybody knows that on Shavuos, we have this argument, you have half and half, but on Shavuos, the day we receive the Torah, everybody agrees that half the day is festive for you. It's personal festivity, physical enjoyment for you. What's going on? Well, l'chura adarav, it should be just the opposite. Afilu Rabbi Yeshua, even according to the other rabbi, who in this discussion, havalei ba'atzeret liyot yoshev v'shomeh, you should be sitting and learning Torah all day on Shavuos. The halo yom shenit nebo Torah, so they will receive their Torah, should be kula l'Hashem, completely forgotten. Aval lafi ma shebiyarti, but according to what I'm saying here, says Rabbi Yaakov, harizu chitsha Torah, the Torah is telling us this great nuance. The gam haguf shayach l'Torah, the body is part of Torah. So everybody admits and understands that on Shavuos you have to have a half a day for yourself, because Torah is the spirituality of the body, also is spiritual. And how do we demonstrate that? By our eating and feasting. Lefichach, therefore, tzimtzita ha-Torah kol ha-inyanim shebenefesh v'ruach u'nesham gam l'guf. The Torah synthesizes physicality, man's physicality, and man's spirituality comes together in a synthesis into one body. Shim tzikorat ruach. Ukedeheveti le'el, as I explained before, shahashlosha regalim. This is, again, he's referring to the essay. We didn't see the part of the essay. That each of the three shalosh regalim are couched in physical terms, right? The feast of Sukkot is the feast of ingathering. There's a physicality to it. But it's not just an agricultural holiday. It's to demonstrate that the spirituality is also in nature. So this relates to something we said, I think, way back when, last year on Parshas Noach, I think we did mention this, that, and it's worth repeating, that in our morning brachas, this idea that our view of spirituality and physicality merging together, in our morning blessings, we say the bracha of Asher Yatzar, after we go to the washroom, and we say Elokai Nisham, Asher Yatzar is a bracha that speaks the wonders of the miracle of human plumbing. That's essentially what the bracha says, how the body functions. And Elokai Neshama, we speak about the human, the soul, the divine soul that God takes from us at night and returns to us in the day. Now, in many sidurim, it's written in different places. It's written in between the brachas of Torah, the brachas of the Torah. But really, you're supposed to say these two brachas together, because you conclude the bracha of Asher Yatzar, you say, Rofecho Basar, Umafli La'aso. He is the doctor of all flesh, and he creates miraculously. So most people think that's referring to Asher Yatzar. You know, he's the doctor of all flesh, the healer of all flesh, and he creates miraculously, meaning the miraculous body. But no, the miracle that's being referred to here is the nexus, the synthesis, the coming together of the physicality, body, and the spirituality, the neshama. So it's a bridge between both of these brachas. Rofecho basar refers to Asher Yatzar. Umafli lasa, the wonder, the miracle of creation, is the union of Asher Yatzar and Elokai Neshama. So it's really proper to say these two brachas together, and the Ramah, our Shulchan Aruch, in fact, instructs us to do so, and I think the art school Siddur does print them together.
Tell me again, which
Asher Yatzar,
I know. And the other
bracha
before that is?
Elokai Neshama. But the soul. Okay, number three, again, also Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky. Vayvorach otam Elokim lemor pru urvu. And God blessed, in this case, the fish. And he gave him a blessing to be fruitful and multiply. So Kasav HaRamban, Nachmanides writes, Gazar behem ha-bracha. God decreed a blessing on the fish, on the sea creatures. V'amar behem, And he said to them, about them, Sheyifru v'yirbu, that they will multiply and be fruitful and increase. Avalo nemar kein bashlishi, shehanivroyim b'chol balei ha-nefesh, hayushnayim b'vad, zachru nekevu l'mineim. He doesn't say it by the animals. Now, Ramban goes on to say that it refers to the animals as well, but when he talks about the animals, he says, shnayim, they have zachru nekevu l'mineim. Each animal was created, male and female, according to their kind. Ki'inyin ba'adam, similarly to man. V'hutzuku levracha, and they also need a bracha. She'yirbu me'od, that they should increase. Aval b'tzmachim, but with plants. So there's a joining together by the fish and by the animals that they have this bracha of being fruitful and multiplying. But by the tzmachim, by the vegetation, Samchu al pnei kol adama, rabim ma'od, that when they were created, the vegetation was created, grass and vegetation was all over the world, ka'asher heim hayom, just like they are today, so they didn't need that special bracha. But I want to focus on something else, it says. So you have this bracha of, and the bracha is for us, really, the bracha of animals being fruitful and multiplying, and fish being fruitful and multiplying, and the natural fruitfulness and multiplication of the bracha is that it's for human consumption, that we utilize it. But I want to focus on something that the Ramban says, that Nachmanides says, Shekashiv shehabehemot nivru zachron nekeva, that animals were created male and female, ki'inyan, similar ke Adam, similarly to Adam, but not just like Adam. Why is it not exactly, right? The Miloshin Zeh Mashman appears from this little word that the Ramban uses. The Lohayu Mamash Kimo Ba'adam. They weren't exactly like human beings, male and female. Ela Karov Zeh. But they were close. A close second. Umahi Achiluk. What's the distinction? Shematzinu Ben Briat Zavar Nekeva Sheba'adam. Or Briat Zavar Nekeva Mishar Balechai. What's the difference between the male and female creation of animals and the male and female creation of human beings? What's the distinction? There obviously is a distinction, because the Ramban says, ki inyan, it's only similar, but it's not precise. So he says, v'hanira b'zeh, let me explain. Dehine shaninu b'sanhedrin, we learn in our oral tradition, quote, he's quoting from a Gemara in Sanhedrin, l'fichach nivra adam yechidi. This should be known to some of you. Man, why was man created, why were we created from one man? L'lamedcha, to teach us, shekol ha-ma'abed nefesh achat mi-Yisrael, ma'ala lava katuv ki'ilu iban olam alei. That if someone kills one Jew, it's as if he's killed the entire world. Right? Because the whole world was one man at one time. V'kol ha-mikayein nefesh achat. And whoever gives life to one person mi-Yisrael, ma'ala lava katuv ki'ilu kiyein ma'olam alei. It's as if he has created, he has given life to one, to an entire world. He sustained an entire world. Umipnei shalom habriyot, and because of peace in society, shalom yomar, this is a second reason. First reason is to tell you the power that we have. Second reason is, umipnei shalom habriyot, the peace of society. Shalom yomar adam, a person shouldn't say l'chavero to his friend, abba gadol mi avich. My father is better than your father, right? Because we all come back to Adam HaRishon. We all come back to the original father. V'hine, you know, he's going to lead up to his question. Tzvichimano nefaresh akusha shel hatana. We have to understand what he's saying. L'fichach nivra adam yechidi, that therefore man was created singular. The l'chura, it would appear, yefshel lefaresh da'akusha lo. What's bothering him? What does he really mean to say? Can't say that he means ne'mal lo livrei chava. Take it, im Adam HaRishon. Why wasn't Chava, Eve, created together with Adam? By the way, incidentally, Chava was not her original name. You know what her original name was? According to the Kli Yakar, it was Chaya. Makes more sense. Life. Chaya. But once she sinned with the snake, one word for snake in Hebrew is Chiviyah. So the Vav was added to her name, so she was Chaya, but with a little bit of the original episode with the Chavia, with the snake. So that's her name, Chava. But originally her name was Chaya. Okay, in any case, he says, he can't be asking, the rabbis in the Talmud can't be saying, you know, why was man created singularly, meaning instead of singularly and not with Chava, right? Kemosha Hayetz or Shara Balei Chayim, because all the others were created male and female. Dalkushazu lo ya'ala tirutz Hashem, because the second answer won't work. Shalom Mishnah. Shalo yomar adam l'chaveru abba gadol mi'avicha. Your father is bigger than my father. Shari avichad yeah. Al kol panim l'chol olam kulam, because you still have that one father for each. So that's not going to help us. Ubemet, truth be told, gam hatam harisha. Also the first reason that we said, to save a life, you're saving a whole world. To kill a life, you're killing a whole world. Kol ha'ma'abed nefesh achat Yisrael. Anyone who destroys a person, ki'ilu ki'am olam male, it's as if he, or the other way around, saving the world. Eino muvan, it doesn't make sense. Ineima dezu ha'itam machshev ratam. If you want to say that this is what he meant. Shehari b'liya nekevut, without feminine, without a female partner, lo ha'yadoro v'holam male, there wouldn't be a future generation that would argue. So that can't be what he means. So what does he mean? He means man-woman. Man-woman. Adam/Chava. That's what he means. We have to say that what the Torah, what the rabbis mean, that his first thought was that maybe God should have created a whole bunch of people all at once. Maybe he shouldn't have just made one man and woman. Make a bunch of men and women, right? Mm-hmm. But that's what the Ramban said. Shegam eitzel habalei chayim. By the animals also nivru rak zug echad shel zachar nekeva. He also only created one male and female, didn't he? Im kein maduah hukshelo latana min adam yoter mishar balei chayim. So what's bothering him? What's bothering the rabbis in the Talmud? Why was man created singularly? What about the animals? They were also created zachar u'nekeva for each animal. So what's bothering you? So he says something very interesting. V'nira, let me suggest, she'be'emet, yesh eizu chiluk, and that's why the Ramban says, ke'ein, it's almost the same. Animals were almost the same, but not quite. What's the difference? Ba'ofen ha'briya shal ha'balei chayim imin adam, in the creation of the pairs of animals and the pair of human beings. De bishar balei chayim, with the other animals, nivru zugot shel zachar u'nekeva mikol min v'min. He created a male and female of each species. Ulamashal, for example, kishenivru min asus, when he created horses, nivru sus kukazi zachar u'nekeva and sus belgii zachar u'nekeva. He created Belgian horses and Caucasian horses. He created different species of horses, different kinds of horses. Ki kasher amar Hashem yibarach, when God said, let the earth bring forth animals according to their species. As then the land brought out Mitzrayim susim Mitzrayim, Egyptian horses from Egypt, Belgia susim Belgiim, and from Belgium the land brought out Belgian stallions. So the rabbi is thinking the gamba adam. So let him create a black man and woman. V'chein adam sini, and a Chinese zachar u'nekeva, male and female. O Romani zachar u'nekeva, or a Roman male and female. Why didn't he do that? Avo mishum shelo yemar, so that a person should not say adam l'chaveiro, adam gadol. Abba gadol me'avicha, my father is greater than your father, lo nivru ke. So he didn't create different species in the human category. El nivru rak min echad shel adam. He created one Adam, Adam Chava. Ve'afshar shel zeh kivan Ramban. And perhaps he's saying, listen to this, how he explains one word in the Ramban, in Nachmanides. And perhaps that's what Nachmanides means, that the animals were created similarly to the man, but not quite like the man. And perhaps that's what he means. And then he makes a social comment here. Ubemet bedorenu. He's speaking in the 40s. Ra'inu shahagermanim ta'anu ta'anazu. Didn't the Germans say this? Abba Gadol Me'avich, the Aryan race, the superior Aryan race. My father is greater than your father. Ela Shehem Amrin Shegam Yisrael taught me. But they accused us that that's why they wanted to wipe out the Jews, because they're the superior Aryan race. And the Jews also said we're the chosen people. Shehem HaGeza HaMeshubach Bioter. That the Jews said they are the superior of the species. Umevi and Raya Mimasha Anachnu Omrim Betfilatenu, and they said, they criticized because we said, Ata Bechartanu, fresh in our minds from Yoyontu, we said this, Ata Bechartanu to Kol Amin, you chose us from all the nations. The Jews say they're the chosen people. So who's right? Avala Tshuva, it's Leno, the answer we know. Shi Bevadai Kulanu Bnei Adam HaRishon Anachnu. We all come from Adam and Eve, from Adam and Chava. Ela Shehaavot, but our forefathers, Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, Valea, Hishtalmu, they perfected the human species. V'hit'alu, Kol Kach, and elevated the human species with spirituality. Kol Kach, Ad Shekarov Hu, Shehinenu Kamina Achel Lagamri. That it's as if almost that Yisrael Kedoshi, the holy Jewish people, became a totally different human species from Adam and Chava, from the original species and all other species, because of the elevation. And again, this relates to what he said before, because remember, unlike Western religions, we believe that the neshama becomes part of the goof. So the Avos, through their what they gave us, elevated the species of Yisrael so to a higher form of Zachar Unikeva. Shekol she'ein bo gimel simanim halalu eino royli dabeku umazu. The Gemara says, our rabbis tell us, that there are three distinctive features to the Jewish people. Bayishanim, right? We are rachmanim, we have mercy. Bayishanim, we are modest. We have shame, a sense of shame. Not that we're ashamed. A sense of shame is a big difference. There's a sense of shame, right? And gomle chasdim. And we do kindness. And that's the Jewish people. Ulechem be'emet, the truth be told, kol misha rotze lekabel al atzmo et ha-mitzvot. Anybody in the world, any Adam and Chava that wants to accept mitzvahs, yachol lihistapeach el am Yisrael, can join the Jewish people. Ki anachnu lo to'anim, we don't say shegezaenu mishubach yoter, we don't say we're a superior physical race. Ukiilu anachnu miyuchadim b'tev, that naturally we're any different than humankind. Ki'ilu kach haita machshavatenu, if this is what we would have believed, lo ha'inu mekablim gerim, we would have not accepted gerim. We would refuse to accept converts. If we're a superior race, if we're a unique race, you can't join my race. What do you mean you just can't abracadabra join my race by studying my Torah and by going through a process? But we don't believe that, right? But really, the truth is, mekablim gerim yikol umot ha'olam. We receive gerim from all nations of the world. Ela she'anu sovrim, we hold she'anachnu nivcharnu mikol umot. We were chosen from all the nations. Mishum she'anu bnei Avram Yitzchak v'Yaakov, because we are children of Avram Yitzchak and Yaakov, she'nit'alu al yidei kiyum ha-mitzvot, who elevated ourselves through the performance of mitzvahs by sanctifying ourselves. Lidei madregat Madrega shebo ha'adam mitkasher el boreinu u'mipadekbo. We reached we elevated ourselves to a level in which we connect with God. U'lechein kol ha'rotzeh li'itzdaref u'lekabel alav ol ha'Torah. Anybody that wants to join us and accept the ol ha'Torah, accept the yoke of Torah u'mitzvot and the commandments, yachol la'asot kein. Everybody's welcome. Everybody's welcome to the Jewish people. But this is just a beautiful idea of how he subtly shows the difference between the Zachar and the Keva of man and the Zachar and the Keva of the animal species. Okay? So I don't think I have time for this fourth piece, but I'll just tell you something outside that's not on the sheets, that we know that after Adam and Chava ate from the Eitz Hadas Tov V'Ra, so they were punished. They were told, Adam was told, Mot Tamut, you are surely going to die, right? And what does that mean? Why is Mot Tamut repeated? Just say, you're going to die. You're going to die and die. What's the emphasis here that you're going to surely die, double language, we say for emphasis, but what does that mean? So really, until now, man was immortal. Man would live forever. What he was telling him now is not only are you going to die, but life as a mortal is totally different than life as an immortal being, right? For example, if somebody was an insurance agent before Adam and Chava ate from the tree, right? He couldn't make a living. You wouldn't have needed life insurance because everyone lives forever, right? So you tell your husband to take out the garbage and tell you, I'll take it out in 3 months, I'll take it out in 70 years. You know, what's the rush, right? Life for a mortal human being is totally different than life for an immortal being. That's mot tamut. You're going to die, but tamut, you have to realize you're a dying person, and you have to live your life differently. If you know that I only have X number of years in this world, I'm going to live my life differently. An immortal person will live his life much differently than a person who has mortality. That's what mot tamut means. When the Torah says to man, you're going to surely die, mot tamut. Okay? Thank you all for your patience this morning.